Usually when we talk about a filing cabinet, there is this built-in expectation of physical reality.
Right, yeah, it's tangible.
Exactly. You open a drawer labeled invoices, you flip through the manila folders, and you pull out the exact piece of paper you need. It's finite.
And I mean, the physical boundaries of paper actually force a level of curation, you know? Like, whoever is storing it has to organize it.
Yeah, because keeping irrelevant paper is expensive. It takes up physical square footage.
Exactly. So historically, the very nature of physical records meant that when you asked to see them, the pile of documents you were handed had already gone through this natural filtering process.
Right, the physical world kind of mandates a baseline of organization.
Yeah, it does.
But then you step into the world of modern digital record keeping, and that physical limitation completely vanishes. Suddenly, we're looking at this landscape of cloud storage, infinite scrolling, and, well, zero-cost archiving.
Oh, for sure. It's a totally different game now.
And so you ask for a specific receipt, and someone emails you a link to a zip file containing like 10,000 vaguely named PDFs.
Which is incredibly frustrating.
It really is. Because that's not a filing cabinet, you know?
Yeah.
It's a data dump. And looking at the source material we have for today, specifically an official legal decision from the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal Appeal Panel, dated June 20, 2024, we're going to see how the legal system is really struggling to catch up with this exact phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a really interesting case.
It's called Daly v. The Owner's Strata Plan, 2754.
And at first glance, it reads like this highly technical dispute over property management, but the core of the document wrestles with a much broader, deeply modern crisis of information.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack a surprisingly profound question hidden inside this Australian strata dispute. In the digital age, what does it actually mean to make information available to you?
Yeah, it's a huge question.
Like, if an organization sends you a link to a messy, completely disorganized cloud folder, have they fulfilled their legal duty of transparency? Or is that just a digital brush-off dressed up as compliance? Okay, let's unpack this.
We definitely should.
Because to understand the legal philosophy at play in the appeal panel's ruling, we first need to look at the mechanics of the digital roadblock that the appellant, Grant Daly, ran into.
Right. We need to examine the functional reality of his request. So, Grant Daly is an owner in a residential building in Sydney,
Okay.
and he had a vested interest in the administrative and financial maneuvering of his building's management. According to the tribunal documents, he submitted a formal request to inspect a very specific set of records.
So he wasn't just on some broad fishing expedition.
No, not at all. He wanted the official appointment documents for the strata managing agent, David Zornig. He also wanted to see specific legal invoices from a law firm, Bannerman's.
Okay, that sounds pretty targeted.
It was, and he requested correspondence regarding a dispute over a minor renovation bylaw that involved waterproofing.
Got it. So he submits his request, pays his requisite fees, and follows the statutory procedure.
Yep, he did everything by the book.
But in response, the strata manager doesn't just attach the three or four relevant PDFs to an email, right?
No, they don't. And they don't provide a curated digital folder either. They send him a solitary link to an electronic portal.
Which, I mean, on paper, a link sounds incredibly efficient. You click it, the documents are there, you read them.
You'd think so, yeah.
But the reality of what happened after he clicked that link is where this entire legal dispute just ignites.
What's fascinating here is how the sheer convenience of digital storage for the sender instantly became an almost impenetrable barrier for the receiver.
Wait, really? How bad was it?
It was bad. Daly's testimony described the contents of that link as an absolute mess. He explicitly characterized it as a data dump.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the portal wasn't indexed at all. The files weren't logically named or sorted into recognizable categories that corresponded to his targeted request.
And there was a ticking clock too, wasn't there?
Yes. The strata manager gave him a password to access this portal, but the password was only valid for 8 days.
8 days to comb through an unindexed digital labyrinth. That's a
On
while.
case files note, Daly testified it took him those entire 8 days, involving 14 different dedicated attempts, just to try and navigate the jumbled files to find the specific items he was looking for.
I mean, imagine asking a library for a specific book on history, and the librarian just hands you the keys to a dark warehouse filled with millions of loose pages scattered on the floor, saying, "It's in there somewhere. Oh, and I need the keys back in a week.
That is the perfect analogy.
Have they really given you the book?
Exactly. Because in that warehouse, there is no Dewey Decimal System, which brings up the core legal friction the original tribunal had to navigate. Does the law actually require the librarian to organize that warehouse?
Or is just unlocking the door and letting you in enough to satisfy the statute?
Right.
So, if a physical librarian is legally required to hand you a book, not a warehouse key, how did a modern legal tribunal look at this exact digital equivalent and decide the warehouse key was perfectly fine?
Well, because that is exactly what happened in the first round of this legal battle. On June 28, 2023, the original tribunal dismissed Daly's case entirely.
They just threw it out.
They did. They applied a strictly mechanical, literal interpretation of the governing law.
Which law are we talking about here?
So the framework they were operating under is Section 183 of the Strata Schemes Management Act 2015.
Okay.
Section 183, specifically subsection 3, requires the owner's corporation to make EITRs available for inspection.
Make them available. Got it.
Right. And then subsection 6 stipulates that this inspection can take place in person, or if both parties agree, it can happen via electronic means.
Ah, so the original tribunal looks at section 183, reads the words electronic means, points to the URL the strata manager sent, and basically declares victory for the building management.
Exactly. Their logic was, well, the link is electronic. The documents technically reside on the server at the other end of that link. Therefore, they are available for inspection.
It is a completely binary way of looking at the law. Like, is the file on the server? Yes. Did he get a password? Yes. Case closed.
It's the legal equivalent of checking a box without looking at the outcome. But the original tribunal actually went a step further, and this detail reveals a lot about how traditional legal minds struggle to adapt to digital realities.
Oh, but they do.
They suggested that if the digital records were too dense or disorganized for Daly to navigate within those 8 days, the burden was on him to pay out of his own pocket to hire a professional strata searcher to comb through the portal for him.
Are you kidding? That's wild. He is an owner paying strata levies, asking to see the basic administrative receipts of his own building. And the legal system tells him to go hire a private digital investigator because the building's own portal is too messy.
Yeah, pretty much. The tribunal was leaning on a historical precedent here, though. In the days of physical records, it was incredibly common to hire a professional searcher to go down to an office and spend days physically opening banker's boxes to find a specific strata resolution or financial audit.
Oh, they see it.
So the original tribunal simply copy-pasted that physical world logic onto a cloud drive. Their view was that navigating complex records is inherently difficult. So if you lack the expertise to use the portal, well, you must bear the cost of an expert.
Wait, I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. Let's look at this from the perspective of the people running the building.
Sure.
The owner's corporation, or this strata committee, is often made up of volunteers, right? Even a hired strata manager is juggling dozens of properties.
That's true, yeah.
So if the law interprets available for inspection to mean that a busy management team has to meticulously curate, tag, rename, and organize every single receipt, email, and invoice into perfect folders for any owner who asks, doesn't that paralyze them with administrative work?
It's a huge burden, absolutely.
Where do we draw the line between a reasonable request and an unreasonable administrative burden on the people keeping the lights on?
And that tension is exactly what makes the 2015 Act so difficult to apply a decade later. The legislation says make available, but it was drafted with a conceptual hangover from the paper era.
Right.
The law hasn't fully evolved to explicitly define available when dealing with massive, unorganized digital file structures. Is a file legally available if it exists as a string of code on a server, but requires specialized software, immense technical patience, or a hired professional to actually locate and read it?
And the original tribunal just decided that near existence on an accessible server was enough.
They did.
Okay, I'm stuck here. Because Daly appeals this. And the appeal panel completely reverses that original decision. They set aside the order and send the case back to be redetermined by a differently constituted tribunal.
Yep, they threw it back.
But if Section 183 literally says electronic means are acceptable, and a link is objectively an electronic means, on what legal grounds could the appeal panel possibly say the first judge got it wrong?
Well,
I mean, it seems like the original tribunal followed the exact letter of the law.
They followed the letter, sure, but they missed the functional context of the statutory duty.
What do you mean?
The appeal panel realized the original tribunal asked the wrong question. The first judge basically asked, did they provide a link via electronic means?
Right.
But the appeal panel stated that the correct question of law is, does providing a link to an electronic portal actually satisfy the requirement to make documents available for inspection in the specific circumstances of this case?
In the specific circumstances, that changes the entire mechanism of the law.
It really does.
It means you can't just apply a blanket binary rule where a URL equals legal compliance. You have to evaluate the actual lived experience of clicking that URL.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the appeal panel found an error of law because the original tribunal failed to weigh Daly's evidentiary reality.
Like the fact that it was a total mess.
Exactly. They didn't consider his testimony about the portal being a mess. They ignored the artificial 8-day ticking clock, and they glossed over the 14 frustrating attempts required to locate the specific items.
That is so important.
The appeal panel established a vital legal boundary here. You cannot divorce the method of delivery from the condition of the documents.
So, if the condition of the documents renders them practically invisible to a normal person making a reasonable effort, the method of delivery is legally void.
Precisely. Providing a link does not fulfill your statutory duty if the files within that link are functionally inaccessible due to their disorganized state.
Yeah.
Accessibility requires navigability. If an owner asks for an invoice and you hand them a digital haystack, you haven't given them the needle. You've just transferred the burden of the haystack.
So what does this all mean? It means the legal definition of available just received a critical upgrade for the 21st century.
It absolutely did.
It means a data dinner is no longer a valid loophole for corporate or administrative transparency. You can't just hide behind a URL.
No, you can't.
If you have a legal obligation to show someone a document, you have a concurrent obligation to provide it in a way they can actually consume.
It's a major shift from constructive availability, the idea that it technically exists somewhere you can reach, to actual availability.
All right.
However, I should note, the source text contains a crucial caveat about the scope of this ruling.
Oh, what's the caveat?
When the appeal panel remitted the case back for a new hearing, they explicitly excluded a specific portion of Daly's argument from being reconsidered.
Which part?
They threw out his allegations that the strata intentionally or deliberately withheld the documents.
Oh, interesting. So they stripped away the accusations of malice.
They did. By excluding the arguments about bad faith, the appeal panel is keeping the focus strictly on the mechanics of the digital supply.
Makes sense.
Yeah. They aren't ruling that the strata manager orchestrated some grand cover-up or acted with evil intent. They are establishing a standard of strict liability on the process itself.
So the mechanics are what matters.
Right. The mechanical process they used, dumping unorganized files into a temporary portal, failed the functional test of making documents available, regardless of whether it was done out of malice or just pure administrative laziness.
It's not about whether you are intentionally hiding something. It is simply about whether your file management is so disastrous that it acts as a barrier to entry.
Exactly.
Which is a standard that should make a lot of organizations really nervous. So, bringing this back to you, the listener, why does this deep dive into an Australian property dispute matter to your life?
It matters a lot more than you'd think.
Because this exact scenario is playing out across every sector of modern society. Whether you're dealing with a homeowners association or requesting your own medical records from a massive hospital network.
Or dealing with corporate disclosures.
Right. Or you're a journalist executing a Freedom of Information Act request on a government agency. This case highlights a modern truth. Information is only as valuable as it is navigable.
Yep. The translation of physical laws to digital realities is really the defining legal struggle of our era.
For decades, we digitized everything to make information easier to store. But by removing the physical constraints of the filing cabinet, we accidentally remove the natural limit on how much irrelevant information can be stored alongside the important stuff.
We created a system where zero-cost storage actually incentivizes hoarding. And when an entity hoards everything, finding anything becomes a monumental task.
It really does.
This raises an important question for how we structure transparency laws moving forward. We live in an era where the public constantly demands more data.
We do, yeah.
We demand comprehensive disclosures from corporations and massive transparency portals from our governments. We operate under the assumption that a higher volume of data naturally equates to a higher level of truth.
But Grant Daly's 14 attempts to navigate a simple strata portal proves that assumption completely wrong. The ultimate weapon against transparency is no longer the black marker redacting lines on a physical page.
No, the new weapon against transparency is overwhelming the requester. It is weaponized volume.
Weaponized volume. I like that phrase.
Dumping so much disorganized, uncurated digital information onto a citizen's lap that locating the actual truth becomes practically impossible without immense technical skill or financial resources.
Wow.
We have to fundamentally ask ourselves if our legal frameworks are confusing the sheer volume of data with actual transparency.
It definitely changes how you look at every data portal you've ever been sent to. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, something that builds on this legal standoff, but points to where this is all heading next.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. We just spent this deep dive establishing that a messy digital link isn't legally compliant because a human being can't easily navigate it. But what happens tomorrow when that same human requester has an artificial intelligence agent on their laptop?
Right. If an AI can instantly ingest that massive unorganized digital haystack,
exactly,
synthesize 10,000 vaguely named PDFs in 3 seconds, and immediately hand you the specific Bannerman's invoice you asked for, well, the barrier of navigability just disappears.
Right. If the technology to sort the mess becomes universally accessible, does the messy data dump suddenly become legally compliant again?
It's a huge question.
Does the definition of available shift back to the sender just dropping a link? Because the law assumes your AI librarian will do the heavy lifting.
It might.
As the tools we use to read information evolve, the legal definition of transparency is going to have to evolve right alongside them. That is our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us.